Praise the Lord. Meg, just absolutely beautiful. Sounded a little bit like heaven, or what I imagine what heaven might sound like. Beautiful. Let's have a word of prayer. Most gracious Lord, I pray that you might be lifted up. Lord, that we might see heaven's offer and that we would take you up on that. We'll embrace your gospel today, that we will encounter you in a real and vivid way, and that we might leave here as new people because we've been with Jesus. We thank you. In his name we pray. Amen. Jesus' offer. John, the 6th chapter, verse 66. We read, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. How do you go so quickly from people wanting you to be king to people not wanting you at all? Here we get a glimpse of the fickleness of people. Here we see the fickleness of people. We're in a sermon series. If this is your first time with us, we're in a sermon series entitled Christ Encounters. We're looking at all these different encounters where Jesus encountered someone and they left as new individuals because they encountered him. That Jesus not only wanted to teach lessons, Jesus wanted to heal people. He didn't just want to heal people. He wanted to make people whole. And in the first encounter, Jesus asks Philip, "How are you going to feed all of these people?" All right. And then in the second encounter, Jesus asks the man there, the broken man at the pool of Bethesda. He asks, "Do you want to be whole?" Interestingly, the answer to both of those problems was the same, and that is Jesus Christ. That is what multiplied the fish and loaves when they encountered Christ. And when Christ touched that man, he made him whole. Today we're going back to the loaves and the fishes and the feeding of the 5,000 because we're going to look at what happened afterwards. You know, we stopped in that first sermon right after the miracle, but you see this encounter continues. The encounter continues after the feeding of the 5,000. So let's look at that. John 6, 14 and 15. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. Now, when you watch Jesus and you see him when he walked the earth, there was always a crowd around Jesus. Amen? People always a crowd around Jesus. Jesus had already proven himself to be able to lead people. He could heal people injured in battle. He could even raise dead soldiers back to life. He could feed an entire army with just a few loaves and just a few fishes. I got an idea. Let's make Jesus our next king. And that's what's going through their minds. In fact, John 6:15 says, notice, it says that they try to take him by force. I wonder, has anyone here today ever tried to take Jesus by force? Has anyone here ever insisted on Jesus doing something he had no intention of doing? How many here have ever tried to take Jesus hostage, tried to make him to do something that he's not going to do, tried to get him to bless an action he's not going to bless, get him to bless a relationship that he's not able to bless? Have you ever gotten so caught up in your agenda for God that you missed God's agenda for you? You see, this is a problem. Israel is so focused on their plan for God, they miss God's plan for them. And sometimes in the church, we can become so focused on our agenda or our plan or the way we have it played out in our minds, the church is going to work. And very often, we miss what God wants to do with and within the church. These people are so focused on what they want from God, they don't see what Jesus is actually offering. Before I went into ministry, I was in sales. I was in sales for several years. Sales was kind of an interesting thing. Anybody here in sales? You know, sales is exciting. I know we got one salesman here. But in sales, you come to this point. You know, in the very beginning, I started out kind of more as a telemarketer. And you know, that must have been an exciting job, right? And calling up people, no. Calling them, no, 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 no. And then, you know, every 50 no's, maybe you'd get someone who would listen to you. And then I went on to, you know, business to business sales. And after you've been in sales for a while, you come to appreciate the quick answer. Yeah, you come to appreciate the quick. You want the quick yes, but you even appreciate the quick no. You know, at first you like the nice people. First you like the nice folk who don't say no the second you start your little spiel. You know, at first you like them because, you know, rejection's hard. Who likes to be rejected? Rejection's tough, so you get to where you're like, oh man, this person's nice, and you enjoy talking with them, and at first you like the nice folk who don't tell you no right away, but over time, you realize that a lot of these nice people have no intention of buying. And so the sooner you get to the no, the sooner you can get to someone who actually wants what you're offering. And if you ever talk to some of the people who do Bible studies in Crystal, you know, and when we do evangelism, yeah, you know, it's hard to hear that no in the beginning, but I'd rather someone tell me they have no intention of doing anything in the beginning than after I've spent months with them studying the Bible. That's tough. This is what's happening here. Jesus needs to get to those who are really wanting what he has to offer. Jesus is trying to cut through the crowd to get to the people who really want what he's offering. What is Jesus offering? Let's continue reading. It says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh, notice, is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in them. Check it out. The only thing that happens between the let's crown him king and we don't want to follow you anymore is just Jesus offering Jesus. That is the only thing that happens between a crowd wanting to crown him king and no longer wanting to walk with him anymore. Make no mistake, friends, the most important thing the church has to offer is Jesus Christ. Because you see, you can have the diet and still be lost. You can have the Sabbath and still be lost. You can have the modesty and still be lost. You can dress like a saint and still gossip like a demon. All right? Okay, so the lost are in and outside the church. The saved are in and outside the church. They exist in both places. You can have the board position. You can be an elder in the church. You can be the pastor behind the pulpit and still be lost. But the Bible tells us this. Check it out. It says, but whoever believes in me, hallelujah, has eternal life. Jesus is the most important thing that we have to offer people. I don't know if this would surprise you, but I have been accused of preaching too much Jesus. And I've been accused of many things in my life. And some of them were accurate. And this is one that's accurate. And I'm proud to be accused of preaching too much Jesus. And I'm going to be, and you know what? You better get used to it. Because I'm going to be preaching Jesus until the day I die. You preach on the law, you better preach on Jesus. You preach on the diet, you better preach on Jesus. Everything we teach, we have got to clothe it, wrap it, and deliver Jesus within it. Charles Spurgeon said, a sermon that doesn't begin and end in the middle with Jesus, do yourself a favor, don't preach it. Jesus is the most important thing that we have to offer people. John 6:39 says, "This is the will of the one who sent me, that I should lose nothing." How much does Jesus lose? Nothing out of everything that he has given me, but that I should raise it up on the what? Last day. You see, I've noticed in this life, you can lose some stuff, can't you? You can lose sleep, all right? You can lose property. You can lose popularity. You can lose prosperity. You can lose money, job, friends, respect, youth. You even lose your hair. You name it, and you can lose it. But according to Scripture, Jesus loses nothing. And in fact, on the last day, he's going to raise it up. Have you ever lost a friend? Jesus is going to raise them up. Have you ever lost health? Jesus is going to raise them up. Have you ever lost your youth? Jesus is going to raise it up. Have you ever lost your hair? Hallelujah. Jesus one day is going to raise it up. The most important thing the church has to offer is Jesus Christ. He's what we are all about. John 6:24, when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum seeking Jesus. Why are they looking for Jesus? I mean, it's good to seek Jesus, amen? But why are they seeking Jesus? It's good to be in the church, but why are you in the church? These people are seeking Jesus because, you see, their stomachs are growling again. It's breakfast time. Where's Jesus? God saw the last mess you got into. You gotten into another mess. Hey, where's Jesus? God got you out of the last bad relationship, but you just can't help yourself and you're in another bad relationship. Hey, where's Jesus? God bailed you out of jail last time, but now you're back in jail. Hey, where's Jesus? The kids were on the straight and narrow. Now they're out there in the world. Where's Jesus? And look, there's nothing wrong. We want to go to Jesus in times of crisis. But at some point, God's got to become more than your cosmic vending machine. We go to God not because for what he can do for me. I go to God because of who he is. I don't come to church just because I like the preacher. I come to church for Jesus. I don't just come to church for the kids' programs. I come to church for Jesus. And so they find him. Let's continue. John 6:25. Notice it says they found him on the other side of the lake and asked, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" So Jesus goes to the other side of the lake. The people see Jesus goes in a boat to the other side of the lake. The disciples, they saw him leave. These guys are following Jesus. They know Jesus is on the other side of the lake. But here they go, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Don't you just love people? But Jesus sees through that stuff. Did you know that? Jesus sees through the facade. Notice, the message brings this out really well. Jesus answered, "You've come looking for me, not because you saw God in my actions, but because I fed you, filled your stomachs, and for free." I mean, who doesn't like a free meal, right? And so they're there for a free breakfast. They're not there for Jesus. They're there for breakfast. Why are you in church today? I hope it's not for a free breakfast, but it's for Jesus Christ. Is it for the bread of life, or is it for a free breakfast? Matthew 9:4 says that Jesus, knowing their thoughts, Luke 5:22, Jesus perceived their thoughts. John 2:25, he knew what was in each person's heart. And then we just read before this that when they tried to make him king, Jesus already perceived in his heart what they were going to do, so he left. Check it out, friends. Jesus knows what you're thinking. God knows what you're thinking, which means you can stop pretending. You know, you can drop the happy Sabbath, seventh day glad veneer, and you can be real and true and honest with what you're going through. Notice John 4:23 says that the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and what? For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. So look, the truth is not enough. You got to also worship God in spirit, amen? But the Spirit isn't enough either. You've got to worship God in truth as well. And sometimes we love using this text to say, well, we have the truth, therefore that's how we're worshiping. But the actual Greek here is a word. The word for truth is a Greek word called aletheia. And it means reality. You can look it up for yourself. It means reality, it means actuality, it means dependability. Basically, it means what you see is what you get. What this verse means is being real with God. So that's what it's really getting at, is the worship the Father in spirit and in reality. And in actuality, worshiping Him right where we are. God can only meet you where you are. He cannot meet you where you are not. So why not get real with God? You got to meet Him right where you are today. And any thought of, well, I got to clean this up, and I got to stop doing that, I got to stop doing this. And yeah, you probably do need to stop doing that. But first, you've got to come to Christ, and Christ will give you the victory over that stuff. Drop the act. Psalm says 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on Him in truth. Because when someone's open and honest, God can meet you there. But when you're pretending you're somewhere where you're not, God cannot meet you in that place. The Lord is near to all who call on Him in truth. Drop the act. Stop pretending. Come into this place broken, open, and honest, and then you can receive the only thing that Jesus is really offering. John 6, 11 and 12 says that as much as they wanted, man, God gave them as much as they wanted. They ate there. He filled them up. But now they're hungry again. You know, this is a reality of life. You can have everything the world says that you need to have in order to be happy and joyous. You can have the new car, you can have the new clothes, you can have the respect, you can have the likes on Instagram, you can have the followers on Twitter, you can have everything the world says you need in order to make it, to be satisfied. But let me tell you, you give it enough time and you'll be hungry again. I don't care how much money you make, you give it time and you're gonna be hungry again. As an addict, you know what? No matter how many highs, you always come down. It doesn't matter. You're going to be hungry again. The website you shouldn't be going to, you're going to be hungry again. And so this is a reality. The only thing that can feed us and fill us and we won't be hungry again is Jesus Christ. And that's why Jesus says in John 6, 27, He says, do not waste your energy striving for perishable food like that. Just think of how much of our life is spent on perishable. Think of all the energy we wrap up in perishable. I mean, we got more than we could ever possibly need. This rummage sale. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, that is a reflection. We got too much stuff. We got more stuff. And then people don't have enough stuff, so they go buy some more stuff. And there's nothing wrong with stuff. But friends, look at all the time and energy we invest in perishable. Take that time and energy and spend it on imperishable. John 6, 27 tells us, notice in the message, work for the food that sticks with you, food that nourishes your lasting life, food the Son of Man provides. He and what He does are guaranteed by the Father to last. I don't know about you, but I want something that lasts. Matthew 28, 20 says, I am with you always to the end of the age. Joshua 1, 9 tells us the Lord, your God is with you wherever you go. Hebrews 13, 5 says to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Romans 8, 39 says nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. You see, when everything else leaves you, Jesus sticks with you. So I don't care what everybody else thinks, I'm sticking with Jesus, because Jesus stuck with me when no one in their right mind would stick with me. Thank you, Jesus. You see, people can reject you. All right? Girls can reject you. Guys can reject you. The job can reject you. The world can reject you. But Jesus says anyone, that he says, I won't reject anyone who comes to me. Jesus is the most important thing that the church has to give to the world. And so that gets people excited. They like what they're hearing. Hey, yeah, man, I like that, you know, imperishable. And so John 6:28, they continue and say, well, what must we do to be able to do the works of God? And Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who has sent. Of all the things that you believe, this is what Jesus from his own mouth says. This is the work of God. The most important thing you believe in him who the Father sent. And so they said, verse 30, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work, what miracle can you perform? Have you ever heard the saying, you can't fix stupid? I know, it's not a nice word. Don't use stupid. But I mean, I just couldn't think of anything else to convey the ridiculousness here. These are the same people that ate miracle fish and bread. These are the same people that ate the miracle fish sandwiches that Jesus provided for them. In fact, I imagine them kind of cleaning their teeth with toothpicks and talking to you. So Jesus, can you give us a sign as to your divinity? I mean, give me a break. You know, this is why Jesus has got to get through to people, because that's ridiculous. Just like last week when the paralytic man, Jesus is standing there, the Son of God is standing there, the resurrection and the life is standing there before this guy, and Jesus says, do you want to be whole? There is only one right answer to that. Yes, Jesus, make me whole. He doesn't say that. He says, well, if you could get me down to the pool, if you could just get me that job, if you could just get me that spouse, if you could just get me, you don't need any of that. You need Jesus. And so when they don't like the miracle that Jesus gave them, they start downplaying the miracle. Our fathers ate the man in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They think they're special because God fed them bread in the wilderness, their ancestors. And notice what Jesus says. Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven right now. Jesus was the bread all that other bread pointed to. Continuing with verse 33, the Father of God is he who comes down from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They say to him, notice, sir, give us this bread always. Here comes Jesus's offer. Here comes your offer right now. Jesus's offer right here. I am the bread of life. And you keep reading, and in verse 41, it says, they grumbled against him. When they realized the only thing Jesus was offering was himself, they were no longer interested. Let me tell you, friends, if Jesus is not enough for you, then you'll never have enough. And so when they found out, think about it, when they found out the bread of life was just Jesus, they didn't want the bread of life anymore. When they realized that the only thing Jesus was offering was himself, John 6:66 says, then many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. They wanted to be full, but the problem with that is the only thing Jesus has to fill them with was himself. They wanted to be saved, but the only thing Jesus has to save them with is himself. The only thing Jesus is offering is himself. And so we've got to learn to embrace that. We need to learn to build our foundation on that. And I don't know how many times someone's come up to me and they've said, Pastor, I just don't know if I'm saved. Let me tell you, if you believe Christ went to the cross and he raised up 3 days later, you are saved. You're not saved because of the caliber of your faith. You're saved by the object of your faith, Jesus Christ. Keep your eyes on Christ. Too often people say, Pastor, how do I know if I'm saved? They're focused on their problems and their weaknesses. Focus on the Prince of Peace. You search the scriptures because you think that in them they will give you eternal life. You search the 28 fundamental beliefs because you think that in them they give you eternal life. But those point to me. In between the let's crown him king and we don't want to follow you anymore, Jesus is just offering Jesus. What about you? Is Jesus enough for you? You see, the thing about bread is only useful when it is broken and you take a bite. Yeah, until you break the bread and take a bite, bread is useless. I mean, you can smell it, you can touch it, you can hang it from the rafters, but unless you eat it and break it, it can't do anything for you. Until you take it in, it won't do anything for you. Jesus says, notice, if I can get my slides to go forward. Sorry, guys. John 6:51. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Interestingly, that phrase for the life of the world, it means in the place of. So what Jesus is saying, the only way I can give you life is if I lose my life. The only way I can give you eternal life is if I lay down eternity and I come and I live the life that you should have lived and I die the death that you should have died. You see, Jesus was broken like the bread had to be broken. Jesus was crushed like the bread had to be crushed. Jesus was chewed up like the bread had to be chewed up. But he did it all so that you and I can be filled up today. You see, if you don't have Jesus, this world will crush you. But if you have Jesus, it doesn't matter how rough the world gets. Because Jesus let the world crush him, he will never let the world crush you. Jesus is the most important thing the church has to offer. He was rejected so that you and I today, if we will just take him in, will be accepted. Psalms 34:8. Notice, taste and see that the Lord is good. You got to take the bread of life into your life. You've got to bring him in. You've got to make room for the Holy Spirit to move. You've got to participate in the beautiful symbolism of the bread and the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the awesome God that you are. Lord, I thank you for all that you have done. And Lord, I ask that you would please forgive us for all the times you were not enough for us. For all the times we had to go get something else because we didn't like what you were offering. But Lord, we're so thankful that you are offering us the greatest gift of heaven, that when heaven gave Jesus, heaven gave everything it had to give. And if that doesn't make us realize that we are loved, then nothing will. Be with us as we transition into the rest of the communion service. Lord, may we understand what you're offering us. In the bread, in the blood, and in the ordinance of humility. We thank you, we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.